You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
ESPN Hockey Night. Thursday, 7 Eastern on ESPN+. Hurricanes, Blue Jackets. Then at 9... on ESPN, Connor Bedard and the Blackhawks, Nathan MacKinnon, and the Avalanche. Big night of hockey coming your way tomorrow night. Huge morning of football conversation and more as we go on here on Get Up. We are live from the Seaport. We are brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. The combine is underway. The squad is awesome. Mel's mock is out. But you need to see not one, but two ridiculous finishes last night. Starting in the NBA. Go.
Doncic bounced underneath the PJ, and he laid it in with 2.6 to go. Cavs out of timeout. Struce into Mobley. Back to Max. Half-court shot. Good! Good! He hit it! Cavs win! This place is going crazy!
The 59-foot game-winning buzzer beater by Max Struce. And the Cavaliers knock off Dallas in stunning fashion. But it wasn't the only half-court buzzer beater last night. To college, let's go.
No timeouts for the Rams. Lucas fires for the win. Oh! Jared Lucas lost his mind from half-court. And it's a party for the Wolfpack. A stone cold stunner.
Jared Lucas scored 23 points last night, the final three coming on that shot. Nevada beats Colorado State. What an unbelievable night of hoops. Meanwhile, all the action is heating up right now in the NFL in Indianapolis, and it's the Chicago Bears who are in the middle of all of it. Ryan Poles, their general manager, has maybe unprecedented control over the draft. They've got the first pick. They've got the ninth pick. They have a 24-year-old ascending quarterback in Justin Fields that a lot of people like. Here was Poles yesterday talking about Fields' future.
I would love to know as soon as possible.
Right.
I mean, I would love to know, but I know that's not how the process works. Sure, before free agency would be good. I want to do right by Justin as well. No one wants to live in gray. I know that's uncomfortable. I wouldn't want to be in that situation either.
Okay, so I have been saying all week, and for those of you just joining us, top of the hour, look at the squad. We got Nika's role, and Jeff Darlington is in the sunshine. Lewis Riddick is on his way to Indianapolis this afternoon. I have been saying for about the last 2 weeks, Lewis, that I expect Justin Fields to be traded perhaps by the end of this week, or at least the framework of that trade to be put in place this week at the Combine. But you've made me think this morning this could last a lot longer, because if Ryan Poles really is going to listen for an offer that might blow him away for the first pick in the draft, then he might need to wait. He might need to leave Justin in the gray a little longer than he wants to. Pick up the thought from there, Lou.
Yeah, I think there's kind of two things. It's funny because as you're talking about it and I'm listening to Ryan Poles, I'm thinking there's two things that he would probably like to know as soon as possible. Number one, is someone going to come there and try and move up to number one? And are they going to offer him some kind of, you know, treasure trove of draft picks that forces him to maybe potentially hold on? Well, not forces him, that causes him to decide to hold on to Justin Fields. And then when he does move down, does he then move that pick once again, a la Peter King postulated, which is not out of the realm of possibility. He could be thinking two, three steps far beyond what we're even thinking about here, you know, which is essentially that he's just going to draft Caleb Williams. And number two, he would probably like to know as soon as possible, what do people really believe Justin Fields is, and what are you willing to give up for him if, in fact, I have decided on drafting Caleb Williams or some other quarterback at number one overall? So, yeah, there's a couple things that he's right now having to think about. One, do I trade out of this position? Two, am I going to trade out of this position because someone offers me a bunch of picks? Three, ultimately, what do they feel about Justin Fields, and what could I possibly get for him? And quite honestly, I think the last piece, which maybe even the most important part of this, is I have heard Ryan Poles talk about the fact that he is very confident in his ability to evaluate quarterbacks on the field. He's very confident that he can identify the guy that he thinks best fits what they want to do. It's the part that really that injects doubt into every general manager's mind concerning whether or not he's the right person. Authentically, can we identify the right person for our organization, for our locker room, for our quarterback room, for our offense? So I think for him, that is also something that he is still trying to work through also, because he understands what flubbing this pick means for his career and for this franchise. Make no mistake about that. We would all love to be in this position with all this draft capital, but he understands the gravity of getting this right, because to not get it right spells doom for your career more likely than not.
It's a career-defining set of decisions that he's facing right now, one way or the other. You wind up in the Hall of Fame or you wind up out of a job based upon how you handle all this. Now, Jeff, we were having an interesting conversation in the pre-show meeting. That the Bengals had a similar situation. Well, they had a number one pick that everyone in the world wanted to trade up for a few years ago, right? And they wouldn't do it, but the circumstances are different.
Yes. When it came to Joe Burrow, there were teams that were trying so hard to move up to that one spot to get him. And all along, the Bengals said, no shot. It's not happening. We are picking Joe Burrow. They weren't even listening to the offers, no matter how hard teams tried. This, of course, is different because the Bears do have a quarterback. And that's where we take this right now to the scouting combine. Ryan Poles is in Indianapolis trying to figure out how he can have his cake and eat it too. Because, by the way, if he can figure out a way to unload Justin Fields for draft capital, suddenly not only does he have the picks and the quarterback, he has the ability to do everything that we're talking about, build the roster around the young quarterback. It's a daunting challenge, but obviously one that any general manager in the NFL would love to have.
I'm just thinking this through sitting here, Dominique, and it seems to me if I'm Ryan Poles, if I'm trading Justin Fields, I want to do it before free agency begins. If I'm trading the pick, I want to hang on to it as long as I can and let the offers keep climbing and climbing. So there's another sort of inflection point that he's looking at here. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I think that while Ryan Poles needs to block out all the outside noise because this is going to be a career-defining decision, I think the outside noise is going to impact this decision in part because of this franchise. It's a historic franchise that has never had, like, a great quarterback. And we have recent history of them passing on quarterbacks or passing on quarterbacks that turned out to be good, but they didn't know at the time, and selecting Mitchell Trubisky and all that stuff. So I do feel like while Ryan Poles is certainly going to go through the process, when we get to the end of this, they're not going to pass up on Caleb. Like, it's going to require an absurd deal to pass up on a quarterback that people are comping to Patrick Mahomes, which obviously is a bit hyperbolic, but they're not going to pass up on Patrick Mahomes again when they did it once in the past. So we never know what these quarterbacks are going to turn out to be, but I find it hard to believe that the Chicago fan base in the ownership, in the front office, are going to go into another season with Justin Fields, who we've seen he hasn't worked there yet, even though he's shown some promise. He hasn't worked there.
Go ahead, Lewis.
You know, the only thing I find interesting about this in this entire situation is this. Let's not forget that they decided as an organization to totally revamp the offensive coaching staff. They sent the entire offensive coaching staff out the door. So when you're trying to assess whether or not Justin Fields is the guy or not, clearly you felt as though the staff that was in place wasn't maximizing his potential or anyone else's potential too. Because if they were, they'd still be there. If this was so cut and dry that Justin's just not the guy, he's just not the guy to take us to where we want to get to, then why did you feel the need to totally wipe out the entire side of the ball? Why did you feel the need to go ahead and start totally over from scratch? Or are you saying that it was just so abysmal that the quarterback isn't going to be ultimately isn't good enough and the guy who was in charge of developing isn't good enough? Because now, I mean, like that to me is something that's why I'm looking for reasons for why I believe Justin Fields is not getting his just due in this discussion in terms of it's just slam dunk. It's got to be Caleb Williams. Because if you listen to his teammates talk, and I understand teammates oftentimes take up for their buddies. I understand that, and sometimes it's not totally objective. Listen to what DJ Moore has said about Justin Fields. Listen to what our own discourse has been about other quarterbacks who we know haven't been set up for success. We're going to talk about Mac Jones, right? And people right now are saying Mac Jones stinks. Just get him out of there. If this was any other coach other than Bill, who I love to death and taught me everything about football, we would absolutely eviscerate him. We would eviscerate that coach for what they did to Mac Jones in New England. We would say he doesn't deserve to ever coach again. You put a special teams coach and a former defensive coordinator in charge of his development? Are you kidding me? That's coaching malpractice. We'd be killing him. But now we're just automatically ready to say, Mac stinks, they better draft Drake May. He just stinks. It's not the way it works.
Yeah, I don't... I think you're right. But the problem is some of these quarterbacks have been... I don't want to say that they've been ruined, but they've had rough starts to their career, and it may not be their fault. The problem is we rarely see guys who have rough starts to their career bounce back and then have success. So whether it's because Justin Fields isn't good enough or because the coaching staff ruined him or that organization ruined him and didn't give him the right opportunities, which I think the latter is probably closer to true, it doesn't really matter. You're at a point now where you have a quarterback who's been in the league long enough to have shown that he can lead your franchise, and he hasn't. And I understand that there are many reasons why not. With the way the contracts are set up, it makes more sense to go to the younger and the guy with less tread on the tires and less issues stemming from being in a tough situation.
Well, let me ask you this then. This is the only thing I would ask you then. Do you believe that if Justin goes to a place like Atlanta with Raheem and with Zach Robinson and with T.J. Yates, or if he goes to a place like Pittsburgh with Arthur, with Mike Tomlin, with that set of weapons, do you believe that he could then – do you think he's good enough to help those teams win their division, be contenders in their respective conferences?
Yeah, that,
then why can't Chicago
do that? But we're
that?
Not talking about – because we're not talking about this in the vacuum right now. No, I'm telling you right now, given that Justin Fields has been in the league for a certain amount of time, what his potential is has lowered. How much better he can get is lower. What we are looking at with these other guys is a much higher level potential. Like, I think it's see, now that's where we disagree, because
are you saying he's as promising as Caleb Williams? No, okay, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. Look, I believe Caleb is a very, very talented prospect. No question. No question. I do believe that. I do believe Caleb is a more talented prospect. I'm just saying I don't believe that Justin Fields is this ruined, though. I don't think we've seen the best of him yet.
No, I agree.
Not by a long shot.
Ruined is definitely the wrong word. But I'm saying right now this is not a question about Fields alone. It's a question about the potential going forward. And I think we all agree that the potential going forward is higher for Caleb Williams, a player. And that's what it seems like when you're in Chicago, a team that's never had a quarterback, they're going to go with that potential and hope that they hit a home run, because best case scenario for Justin Fields right now is probably a triple. He's not going to be Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson like that. He can be a good starting quarterback, but I don't imagine that we're going to see him turn into the top of the league type of guy.
I hope you are enjoying this conversation at home as much as I'm enjoying it here. I could sit back and listen to this for the rest of the day. Jeff Darlington, give me a final thought.
No, you know what? I'm just glad that Nick finally did that, because I never want to disagree with Lewis. He is clearly smarter and far superior in every way in life. But I completely disagree, and I'm glad that Neek finally got there. Both things can be true,
Lewis.
With
what part?
Like, Justin Fields can be a decent quarterback, but the Bears can say, we have the number one pick, and we want a generational quarterback. It can both be true.
Okay, hold on, dude. First of all, we throw around that generational BS way too much. What do you mean generational?
What if he is generational?
Look, I believe Caleb Williams. I believe Caleb Williams is fantastic. I do. I do believe that from a pure quarterbacking standpoint, he probably has more individual upside. From a pure quarterbacking standpoint, I do believe that. Okay? I believe that. I just don't believe that Justin Fields now is just like ruined.
Yeah.
Because he's not.
No one's saying
That's what I'm saying.
Yes. Justin Fields definitely is not ruined. He can be good in this league. But you lost me, Jeff, when you start throwing around that G word, because Patrick Mahomes exists.
Why? Don't do
this
that,
generation
Jeff.
Is long. There's one generational quarterback per generation.
To find out
this
right
generation
now.
Is Patrick Mahomes. And he can be great. He can be in that tier with them other dudes like Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow. There's a generational quarterback. His name's Patrick. Everybody else is trying to figure it
out. That's what they're trying to find out. That's why you potentially send away a franchise quarterback in Justin Fields, because if you can get the generational guy, it sets you up for the next 15 to 20 years.
Right. May I jump in?
I mean, the potential there is higher. All right.
I hate to do it because I love everything about this conversation, and it is, I hope, as good at home as it is going here. I can throw a couple of things into the conversation. Two things have been told to me while we were discussing this. One, our Courtney Cronin, our Bears reporter, reports the Bears are meeting with Caleb Williams this morning. So that meeting is taking place. That's obviously critically important in this. Another, I want to read you a quote that our Pete Thamel sent me. He's our college football reporter, and for what it is worth, we had... There was a moment in time where there were these stories that suggested maybe Caleb Williams didn't want to go to Chicago. Remember that with the father and everything else. Here's a quote from Pete Thamel that says, this is directly from Caleb Williams, quote, "If I get drafted by the Bears, I'll be excited. If they trade the pick and I get drafted by someone else, I'm just as excited." Take that for what it's worth. That's not exactly the same thing as saying Chicago is my dream destination and that's where I'm dying to go. Let me put this in simpler terms. Lewis, you have forgotten more already today than I will ever know about this process, but I'll tell you one thing. I've been covering sports 30 years, and the most common thing that general managers in this situation do is they do the thing least likely to get them fired. And drafting Caleb Williams is the thing least likely to get you fired. Because let's say Trevor Lawrence doesn't ever live up to the hype. He's been good. He hasn't been great. No one's going to say that was a bad pick. Why in the world did they take him? Because everyone in the world would have taken him. If you pass on Caleb Williams and he winds up being really good, then you are the guy who passed on Caleb Williams for the rest of your life. They're going to take him if for that reason only, Lewis.
There's Greeny, I say it all the time. This is the Russell Wilson argument, okay? When Russell Wilson came out, everyone knocked Russell down when he came out of Wisconsin simply because he didn't fit the prototype. He didn't have the measurables. And then after the fact, as soon as Russell started ripping it up in Seattle, it was, I had a first-round grade on him, but just couldn't take him that high because you know what? If he didn't work out, I probably would have got fired. There's no question, Greeny.
Yeah.
Teams will draft the prospects that when they do work out, it's like, well, of course they work out. I mean, I picked the right guy. When they don't work out, it's that guy just didn't maximize his potential, or that coach screwed him up, or something else happened, because it wasn't me. You saw what I saw. You saw the height. You saw the weight. You saw the 40, 50, 60, 70-yard bomb on a rope. I didn't mess it up. You did. You're right. It happens all the time. I'm 100% with you. And I understand that would be a factor in this decision. There's no question about that. I'm not saying it's always the right thing to do, but it's the truth.
Nick, it's easy to say it's not the right thing to do when it's not your job, right? I mean, it might not in the long run turn out to be the right thing, but if you get fired, there's not a whole lot you can do about it after the fact.
Yeah, so the point is you want to have success, right? So get the guy that you think is going to make you successful. And who cares what they say about you? It's back to that Brandon Bean quote from the beginning of the show. Like, they are, whether you pick the right guy or the wrong guy, all that matters is whether you have success or not. Whether you pick the guy that people are telling you to pick or the guy that you think is right, all that matters is if you win and have success. Get the guys that you think are going to help you have success, because at least you can then sleep at night if you failed and say, I made the decision that I thought was right. The worst possible situation is you make the decision that you think everyone else thinks is right, and then you get fired and you're home crying into your pillow about, damn, I shouldn't have listened to those guys on Get Up telling me who to pick. You're absolutely right. You should have listened to those guys on Get Up, because our job is not dependent on it. If I was ever, I mean, we've all been in positions where we had to have major decisions about our life or in our careers, and I'd be damned if I'm going to call Mike Greenberg up and say, hey, what do you think about this decision? No, I make the decision that I think is right. No disrespect, Mike. If I were to call anybody, you'd be the first one I call.
Yeah.
Greeny, you know what? I'd like to ask everyone here, like, honestly, and it's in. And in particular, that guy to the left of you, well, actually to your right, my left, Jeff Darlington, last year.
There we go.
Last year's quarterback debate at the top of the draft. Who did you have number one, Jeff? Who was the generational guy?
I don't know.
For you.
I don't
answer him, Jeff.
No, I'm an idiot.
Jeff, who did you like? Guys. Who did you, honestly, who did you like? Who
did? Does anybody remember who drafted Jamarcus Russell? No, they just remember he was a bust. To Greeny's point, if it's a consensus number
don't
one overall
pick, don't duck the question, Darlington.
You take him because it reduces all the risk.
I will say this, just to finish
point,
it up.
My point being this.
Yeah, Lewis, real quick.
Okay, go ahead, Green. I was just going to say, my point being this, in relationship to what Dominique is saying, you got to believe what you believe. You have to trust yourself. You can't listen to consensus. Because I'll tell you what, last year, I honestly believed that C.J. Stroud was the best quarterback in the draft. And who knows, maybe Bryce is going to make improvements this year. But I believed it wholeheartedly, and I had people telling me all the time, you're nuts. He ain't the best quarterback in this draft. Okay. Just be careful when you start following consensus.
Let me read you one more quote from Caleb Williams on the way out.
Don't be a coward, bottom line.
Here's what Caleb Williams said, quote, I'm not pushing any agenda. At the end of the day, the Bears have the last say. Regardless of how I feel, I'm not pushing an agenda of, yeah, I want to go, or no, I don't want to go. I'm excited for whatever comes. Those are the last quotes that we have there from Caleb Williams. All right, taking a quick break. So much to do. Mel Kiper is going to jump in here. He's got his second mock draft up. There are some surprises at the very top. We'll dive into all of these answers. Plus, for the very first time, the Cowboys ownership has addressed their culture issues. The things they say are fascinating and illuminating, and we will dive into them as this hour continues. Oh, we're busy. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, let's take a quick look at a little eye candy. Shohei Ohtani, it's only February, but he's in mid-season form. Opposite field home run for Ohtani in his Dodgers spring training debut. We'll see if maybe there are a lot more of those coming up in the future. By the way, the Dodgers and Ohtani will open their season on ESPN in games that'll be played in South Korea. So we're looking forward to that. All right. As we continue, Mel, a mock, it's out. Huge decision right at the top. Let the risky business begin. You'll hear all the opinions. Plus, sneaky Hembo time. This one's for Dominique. Good question. In the Super Bowl era, who's the only Bears quarterback to start his team's season opener as a rookie? The answer's next.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Bottom of the hour, here we go, Dominique. Super Bowl era, who was the only Bears quarterback to start his team's season opener as a rookie?
I actually think I might know this one. So Rex Grossman comes to mind, or Jim Harbaugh, but I think it actually was my draft, 05, when Kyle Orton, here's a who, pulled it off.
Oh, my God, that's right. He got it right.
Yeah. I mean, I was in the league back then. This is my draft.
I told Hembo let the record show. I told Hembo you had no chance of getting this right, and it was unfair. And yet he got it correct. That's exactly right. Grossman got hurt in the preseason, and Kyle Orton started week one as a rookie in Chicago. Score that one for Dominique. I love it. All right. Let's go back to the draft.
I think it's like 30-1.
Mel Kiper is with us here. His mock draft 2.0 is available right now. That man remains at the top of it. And one would expect he's going to stay there throughout. That's obviously Caleb Williams there from USC, former Heisman Trophy winner, would give Chicago the opportunity to reset the quarterback position and maybe become the first since Kyle Orton to start week one. He has Chicago taking Caleb number one, then taking Malik Nabers number nine in mock draft 2.0. We can see it right there. You see some of the other decisions that are made. Jaden Daniels at two, Drake May at three. Let's get into the conversation here with Mel and the whole. Let's go to the Penta box as we bring in this entire group here. That one's just for Scott Hansen. Okay, so Mel, let's go through this here. Number one is Caleb Williams. Number two is Jaden Daniels. Number three is Drake May. Is it your anticipation that when we get to the end of April, that will continue to hold? We got a lot of steps between now and then. Is it your expectation that's going to be the order these three guys go in?
I think unless Chicago is blown away by an offer, I think that is the way it will end up. And certainly he'll be the number one pick overall regardless. I think Jaden Daniels, second overall, to me, has to happen. You think about Washington, what they need. You think about in the NFC, if you can hit on that elite quarterback like Jaden can become, obviously the comps to Lamar Jackson are out there. Herm Edwards, who brought him to Arizona State, his comp is Randall Cunningham. So for Jaden Daniels to play so well, being aggressive with his legs, aggressive with his arm. Think about what he did. Hembo brought to my attention about Nick Saban, two games against Nick Saban. Nick Saban had no answers for Jaden Daniels, okay? So to be aggressive and not turn the ball over really impressed me. And he got his weight up. He was a splendid splinter. Now he's got his weight up a bit. So for Jaden, you lock him into two. Drake May to three to New England. Why not? New England has to get a quarterback. As I said, they hung Mac Jones out to dry. He had a great rookie year. Then they did nothing to help the kid. They got to help Drake May. Drake May is only 21 years of age. Yes, he had some head-scratching games. NC State, Virginia, Clemson. But overall, when you look at what he was able to do during his career, in 2022, outstanding. He had six games this year. From the first three, when he was four touchdowns, four picks, to the last three where he was 4-4. In between six games, 16 touchdowns, only one pick. He has those Justin Herbert comparisons I think are accurate. That's who he could become. He's only 21 years of age. He can make any throw you need him to make. He can move well. He's going to be able to beat defenses with his legs, keep drives alive with his legs. Drake May, 3 to New England. Need a quarterback. You're in the AFC. I can't believe at 3 they would trade out of there or not take Drake May.
All right, so I want to play something that our former colleague and longtime friend Merrill Hodge said, because it's gotten a fair amount of attention. And, I mean, Tim Hasselbeck almost, I mean, he wasn't in the room, but his head almost exploded yesterday when we played it. I particularly, Lewis and Mel, I want you guys to hear Merrill Hodge's evaluation of Drake May. Let's play it.
I wouldn't touch May. I wouldn't grab May. I wouldn't draft him in the first round. There's a bunch of things that bother me. He's extremely inconsistent as his accuracy, his processing inconsistent. He's not extremely athletic. I find him more stiff. He's got a longer throwing motion, which allows more hits in our league than he gets in college.
So that got a lot of attention. Lewis Riddick, what is your reaction?
As far as where he's going to get ultimately drafted, I mean, that's just not going to happen. He's not going to get out of the first round. And as Mel's alluding to, he's probably not going to get out of the top 10, the top 5. Some of the things, though, that Merle Hodge sees, I see some of the same things, quite honestly. I see off-target throws that are not caused by pressure, that are not caused by tight windows. I just see misses. I do see an elongated throw in motion. It is not the same as Caleb. It is not the same as Jaden. I don't see the same kind of creativity. I don't see the same kind of outside-the-pocket explosiveness outside of structure that I see with those two. I do see a gap between Caleb, Jaden, and Drake May. I see some of those same things. Now, ultimately, where he ends up being drafted is going to be much different than what Merrill is saying. What his career ends up being, I think it's going to be very much so. I think with him, he's one of those guys who needs, when we're talking about quarterbacks all need to go to great situations and be in great systems to be utilized, you know, to their strengths and kind of have their weaknesses hidden. I think without a doubt that Drake's development is going to be front and center as far as some of the things that Merle is talking about that he has from a deficiency standpoint, because he cannot create. He cannot lift and create and do things on his own the same way Jaden and Caleb can. He just can't. Mm-hmm. I don't care what it – you can just watch the tape and see that. He's not the same guy as those two, and that's why he is third behind those two.
Mel, how about – it's one thing to be third. It's another thing to be questioned as significantly as Merrill is questioning him. What did you think of it, Mel?
Well, I know people that hated Josh Allen, didn't think he was ever going to be an NFL quarterback. There were people that didn't like Lamar Jackson, thought he got to shift to another position. There were people that talked about Patrick Mahomes coming out of the Boulogne system, that he wasn't going to be able to translate to the NFL. Joe Burrow was surrounded by great talent at LSU. Yeah, he wasn't the guy. He can't carry a team. He had all that talent around him. So I think for Drake May, you're going to hear criticism. It's not who you are. It's who you will be. Mm-hmm. And for Drake May, he had a new coordinator. He didn't have Josh Downs, who had, 94 catches 2 years ago. And he did. As Lewis said, and as when you watch the tape, and I watched those three games, there were throws in those games where you got to make them. There was no excuse. He had time. The receiver was there. The ball was inaccurately thrown. There were some layups he missed. Some of his swing passes that were not allowing the receiver to do the maximum with the football after the catch, because he had to adjust to a poorly thrown ball, an inaccurate ball, not a precise ball. So for Drake, yes, he has to obviously develop more consistency in terms of accuracy and precise passing. But he showed in 2022 he could do that. This year, for whatever reason, there were those head-scratching performances, those head-scratching throws. So I saw it, though, in 2022. He could be really, really good. He could be great. This year, he fell back just a bit. I think you can recapture that greatness, and I think he's just 21 years of age. He's got developing to do, but certainly I think he can be a heck of a quarterback in the NFL.
All right, let me try and get a few other things in here. Again, Mel's 2.0 is up. Dominique, I know you have a big-picture point you want to make, and I want Mel to hear it.
Oh, a big picture point about Drake May? I mean, I think the
NFL
big picture
GMs.
Point about all these quarterbacks is...
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love that Mel's here to talk about all the decisions and create the conversation that pushes some of these people's decisions. But I just want to remind, from a couple segments earlier, remind the GMs, don't be cowards. Don't let our opinions push you into a decision, into a position where you feel like you have to make a decision. Your jobs and your careers are and your reputations are riding on these decisions. So we talked about earlier, Mel, before you were here, about how so many of these GMs are going to be making decisions based on what they think they can defend, which is the wrong way to make a decision. It's to make a decision based on how you think you're going to have the most success, because no matter what, you want to be able to go home at the end of your career and know that you succeeded or failed because you trusted your own evaluation. And I know they don't always have the end-all, be-all decision-making power. Some organizations, the owner comes in over top. But you need to push the pressure to make the decision that you're going to be comfortable with.
To be clear, Mel, what I basically said was, if Trevor Lawrence doesn't wind up being a great quarterback in the NFL, no one's going to say it was a bad pick. If Caleb, the Bears, even if the easiest thing to do is to draft Caleb Williams, because no one will say it was a mistake. And if it doesn't wind up working out, the coaches and everyone else are the ones who are going to get fired. And you've been doing this, Mel, longer than anybody. Making picks to avoid getting fired is something that I feel happens a lot in the NFL.
I think you got to drown out the noise. I think you can't listen to anybody discussing anything once you're in the NFL. You want to know from a mock draft standpoint and really canvas different things and see where guys may go. That helps. But in terms of evaluations, if your guys in that room can't make that call, they should be fired. I mean, your job is to get it right. Your job isn't to fear getting it wrong. You can't be right if you're afraid to be wrong. You have to get in that room, get people you believe in that room in terms of scouts, your assistant GM, your personnel people, your coaches. Everybody has to be on the same page here, and you move forward, you roll forward with the guy you decide is that right quarterback. Keep in mind, the most important position in all sports, name the sport, put them all out there, the number one position in any sport, the most important, is quarterback in the National Football League. So when you get all your guys that are supposedly know this game better than anybody else in the room, and you decide, why do you care what Kiper or anybody else says, any discussions that are going on around the nation have to do with your team? Who cares? You believe in what you do. You have strength in your conviction about that quarterback. You make that move. If they don't like Caleb, take Jaden. You don't have to go with what everybody thinks. Like I said, you can't be right if you're afraid to be wrong.
Let me get Jeff in here. Go ahead, Jeff.
I mean, I think Brandon Bean, we showed it earlier in the show, had the quote of the freaking decade when it came to this. He said, if Josh Allen doesn't work out, I'm not going to be here anyway. And if he does work out, nobody's going to give a bleep. I mean, that's exactly right. Like, that's not coming from a position of fear. That's coming from a position of conviction. And that's how Brandon Bean approached that acquisition of Josh Allen. He knew he was his guy. He was going to go get him no matter what. And he was going to live and die by that decision.
Okay, and then there's one more thing I need to do before we let Mel go. You might have noticed over Jeff's shoulders that picture of Lewis. Our director, Cindy, can you take our one shot of Dominique Foxworth, please? Neek, what is that picture that I see behind you on that? What is?
Look at that.
It's a picture. It's a picture of the draft. Baltimore's own Mel Kiper. This is an image. I mean, since we're putting up pictures of our idols, I thought I would put
it's
up.
A lot of love.
Baltimore's finest.
Wow. The Kipe.
That's a lot of. Oh, Neek, I appreciate it. That's a lot of hair I've lost between now and then and now. I can tell you that right now.
It's just knowledge. That's
gone.
All it is. But just knowledge.
Hey, Neek, the one thing, we got everybody but Darlington. Everybody, Darlington and Greeny were in my book at some point. Riddick, Foxworth were in that draft report back in the day. So, yeah, you guys.
Speaking of balls.
Because they're terrible.
Speaking of no hair.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff.
Never had hair.
Thank you, Jeff.
I wasn't in the evaluation book. I guess I could have written a blurb for it, but that would have been about it for the book. All right, guys, outstanding again. Mel, Mach 2.0 available right now. Phenomenal. The Pentabox will be no more as we continue in just a moment. But for the first time, the Cowboys ownership has addressed their culture issues. Oh, you got to hear what they had to say and then what we've got to say next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We are back on Get Up. We've been busy this morning. Jeff Darlington, there's a lot of news out there. Let's run the hurry up. Let's start with the Chiefs.
Yeah, there's a ton going on at the scouting combine right now. We will start with the Chiefs. General Manager Brett Veach making pretty clear that the team plans to use that franchise tag on somebody. The two most likely candidates are either L'Jarius Sneed or Chris Jones. Right now, I would say that the Chiefs are leaning towards Sneed, which would mean they'd have to get that long-term deal done with Jones before the start of free agency, and then they can work on a long-term deal with Sneed as well. Russell Wilson, meanwhile, a decision could be coming very soon from Sean Payton and the organization. Sean Payton saying at the scouting combine that he plans to meet with ownership very soon to go over a number of factors. He said, I expect that we're going to know fairly quickly about Russell's future. There's a couple of factors here. Obviously, the cap projections that were newly released, $255 million set there. We're also further down with the road with the draft class, so I'd anticipate it being within the next 2 weeks that we will learn about Russell Wilson's fate. Kirk Cousins, meanwhile, you see him here looking pretty good coming off of that Achilles injury. This is perhaps the most interesting underrated storyline in the NFL because the Vikings are saying all the right things right now. They're saying that we still want Kirk Cousins back, that we believe Cousins still wants to be back. Meanwhile, we are tumbling toward free agency. Kirk Cousins is about to become a free agent. I could see this very well being a situation where Cousins enters into free agency, finds out what's out there, and then the Vikings can decide whether to match or let him move on. By the way, one added note on the Vikings, they also are making pretty clear they are not interested in trading Justin Jefferson at all.
All right, that feels incredibly important. And then if you feel like you've heard Kirk Cousins is going to maximize a financial situation in which he finds himself, right. It's not for the first time. That's certainly something we've heard before. One more I wanted you to hear from the scouting combine, and this is the Cowboys CEO, Stephen Jones. Of course, he's Jerry's son, and this is really the first time that ownership has addressed all the conversations that have taken place about the Cowboys' culture, and specifically whether they have a culture problem. Here's what he said.
From the organization on down, we feel good about our culture. You always want to be better. I will say that. Our leadership on our team's outstanding. So, you know, you're always going to have somebody who's, you know, going to say something, you know, that's not, you know, that might be, hey, that's their particular thought process on why we may have come up short. But I don't think in general, personally, I don't think it's an issue.
So this has been a huge topic of conversation here and other places. The podcasts, the brothers, the mothers, everyone else who's been involved in talking about all of this. What did you think of that response, Dominique? Stephen Jones says, I don't feel like it's an issue. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue with the success that they've had recently. Like, they've done well in the draft and free agency and had really good regular seasons and fallen short in the playoffs. I'm not going to argue that the culture is, like, toxic. They've proven that they're pretty good. But I will say that there are some things that you just don't see football teams do. And one of them is to publicly criticize or allow your quarterback to be publicly criticized and your head coach repeatedly without coming to give a full-throated endorsement year after year. And that's something that's happened multiple times there. And that, to me, more than anything, is the most concerning thing. And I think it's a reflection of the fact that they recognize how valuable it is for them to continue to be America's team, which is like the team that we're always talking about, the reality show that is the Dallas Cowboys. And I think that they encourage and celebrate when they can get in the news and we can talk about them. And that, to me, doesn't feel like very traditional or something like something that I would want to be a part of, to continue to tax particularly your starting quarterback, your top tier quarterback of your team that they have.
At the end of the day, Jeff and Lewis, I'll get you here in a second. But Jeff, at the end of the day, I mean, mm-hmm. The Dak Prescott decision is one they're going to have to make. And it is, he has, I keep doing this, like this is the Cowboys, and this is a barrel. He has them directly over a barrel, and he's going to control how this thing goes, and they got to do it soon, right?
Yeah, I mean, for those that don't understand where this Dak Prescott thing is, they don't really have a choice. They are married, and there's no choice for divorce at this point. He is basically has a salary cap hit of $60 million this coming season. And even with the new cap projections, the Cowboys stand to be $9 million over the cap right now. They have to re-deal Dak's deal no matter what. So whether you think that he is the future of the team or not, the Cowboys have backed themselves into a corner. He's got to be the guy. So they have to do that first before anything else. And that, again, is kind of a product of the way Cowboys do business. They do things in dramatic fashion. And once again, we're there with Dak Prescott.
And so, Lewis, take a big picture view of the whole thing for us.
Yeah, look, I don't really see Dallas as having a culture issue that is working against what they're ultimately trying to accomplish, which is to recapture the glory years of the 90s. I don't think the reason why they're falling short is because teammates, families are talking bad about the quarterback, or they have podcasts, or they lead the rundown on every single show on every single network. I don't think that's the issue. I think, quite honestly, all of that stuff goes away from a negative talking point standpoint if they could just figure out how to get some players in some critical positions that when it comes down to single elimination tournament time, they can stop people from running the ball down their throat, controlling the clock. Dak can be better with his decision-making in terms of protecting the football. They can be more balanced on offense because they have a hammer at running back that can help bail Dak out when maybe he's not feeling it or things are getting a little off kilter. That Mike McCarthy can be a little bit better with time management, timeout usage, play calling in certain situations. Those are the kind of things. Really, to me, this is a football issue with Dallas. It's a football issue at the highest levels at the most critical moments with Dallas. This is not about all the other drama that surrounds them. I think all that stuff is ancillary. I really do. I think it's just outside noise. They're used to it. You know, look, when Emmitt Smith comes on TV and talks about the fact that I'm tired of hearing about, you know, looking at all their podcasts and all the other, you know, extracurricular things that they're doing. I mean, I get it. Because they're benefiting off of the work that him and Troy and Larry Allen and all the guys did back in the 90s when they were steamrolling my teams and running us out of the stadium, okay? But the fact of the matter is they're not good enough in certain areas of their football team right now, and that's where their focus needs to be this offseason. As Jeff said, start with redoing Dak's deal and then fix the interior of that defense. Otherwise, we're going to have the same discussion next year, I promise.
Nick, quick final word, Dominique. Go, quick.
Yeah, no, it's hard to argue with all the on-field issues that they're having. And it's hard to also pretend like I have a complete understanding of the culture that they have there. I don't care about guys with outside activities or podcasts or TV shows or whatever they want to do. But I do know that there are some things that I've never seen happen with football teams, especially football teams who have players that they believe in that they're going to be relying on. And that, to have family members or players talking bad about your quarterback is one thing. But then not have someone in the organization come up and make it clear that this is unacceptable, that to me suggests that there are some issues there that are outside of just being able to stop the run. There's some issues with what they prioritize and how they value their leadership.
All right, I am out of time. First Take is on the way. I can keep going, but they're going to start whether we're ready for them or not. Stephen A., I see Mad Dog running around the hallway. He's ready to go. Molly, Stephen A., Lewis, top of the hour. We have used up all our time. Thanks for getting up with us. We'll see you back in Better Than Ever tomorrow. But the fun continues with First Take now.